Rouse's limited lifetime warranty on wood windows and doors makes it so that you'll never have to worry about rotting windows again. Right now at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, make payments as low as $35 per month per window and $78 per patio door. PellaWI.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, it's the Jeff Wagner Show. Come join the conversation on the Old National Bank talk and text line at 855-616-1620. Old National Bank. Get old. Now, here's WTMJ's Jeff Wagner.
Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to the show. Let's get right to it. By the way, if you want to watch us do spoken word radio, you can do that. Simply go to YouTube, put in WTMJ. We live stream the shows in addition to broadcasting them. In addition, you can go to WTMJ.com and either click on the listen live or the watch live button. And if you hit the watch live button, as I always say, you can see how my wife has dressed me in any given day. All right, let us get right to it. If you are a regular listener to this program, you know, we've talked about, you know, one of the interesting social things that's going on, especially after the pandemic, is the whole concept of tipping and when it is appropriate to tip and when you don't have to tip, and things that we never used to occur to us to tip. Now there's kind of an expectation. And a lot of times you go to places and they'll give you the thing to put your credit card in and there will be 10, 15, 20, 25%, whatever. And we wrestle with what is appropriate and what isn't. I mean, I've talked about it in the context of when you go to the baseball game and they've got the self-service kiosks and you go through the line and you pull out your beer and you pull out your peanuts and you ring them up yourself and it asks you to tip. And my response is always, well, tip for what? Now, I understand that there's somebody who fills up the coolers at the end of the game. I get that. But, I mean, I don't tip the stock boy at Pick and Save, you know, when I go and I pull the soup cans off. So, I mean, I wrestle with that. And if people want to do it, that's fine. But I do draw a line with this as we're being asked how to tip. And I say this also because I think if you were to speak to, I don't know, like the servers and stuff that deal with me on a regular basis, they would say, well, he tips pretty well. And I always appreciated that because I've been fortunate most of my life to figure out, well, that extra $5 means more to the server or something than it does to me. And I don't know if I'll always be in a financial position to do it. But while I am, I like to reward good service, which brings me to this story. Perhaps you have seen it. It has gone viral. It comes from essentially Central Texas. And it's a woman. Her name is Lacey Percival. And on June 30th, she orders a pizza through DoorDash. The pizza cost, the price of the pizza was like $17.96. And on top of that, there was tax or service charge or whatever of a $1.79. So essentially, the cost is about $20. She tips the DoorDash driver $5. Now, I don't know whether she put that tip in advance or whether she added the tip when they delivered it. But regardless, it's $5. So essentially, if you round up, the purchase is $20. She's tipping the DoorDash driver $5. So what happens is, and this is all, it's caught on video. She's got like a Ring video or something like that. Okay, so the DoorDash driver comes up to the door. He's got the pizza there and he, you know, drops off that she comes to the door. She picks this up and says, hey, thanks for delivering this. The door driver, the DoorDash driver, who's been tipped $5, then starts back to his car and then turns around and says, sarcastically, I want to say this is a pretty nice house for a $5 tip. Her response, not picking up on his sarcasm, is, well, you're welcome. He then says, blank you. But he doesn't say blank you. He says that word that I cannot say on the radio or else I'll get called in a meeting and I try to avoid meetings. He then says, blank you to the woman and then stalks off. And the lady has posted this and said, okay, well, I don't understand this. How much do you think I should be tipping for a delivery of a $17 or $18 pizza, $20 with the service charge. And so this has, of course, gone viral. The DoorDash has looked into this. They have fired the driver. And to make up for the what happened to the lady, they initially returned $5 to her, which was the tip. They rescinded that. But now they've upped the voucher another $75. Okay, so that's – they've – under no circumstances is it, you know, appropriate for the DoorDash driver, you know, to curse the person out. But I am intrigued by the larger issue here, which is she leaves a $5 tip on a $20 delivery. Is that being cheap? Is that being unreasonable? 855-616-1620. That's the old National Bank talk and text line. Now, the way it works, I mean, it's a little bit complicated with DoorDash, and you the drivers don't necessarily know what their tip is going to be in advance. But clearly, this guy knew it was $5. Yeah, she probably lives in a nice house. But is a $5 tip, forget what his reaction was. His reaction was clearly over the top and he deserved to be disciplined. But she tips the delivery driver $5 on a $20 order. Is that unreasonably low? Is that cheap? Or is that about normal or maybe even generous? 855-616-1620. That's the old National Bank talk and text line. I mean, candidly, it wouldn't have occurred to me to tip more than $5 on an $18 or $20 purchase. I don't think that's being particularly chintzy at all, regardless of what type of house I lived in. 855-616-1620, we discuss in a moment. 855-616-1620, which is the old National Bank talk and text line. So you're just tuning in. Lady orders a pizza from, she lives in Central Texas, orders a pizza about a week or so ago from Dort, and the DoorDash driver comes up. The tab is the pizza is like $18. There's a tax on top of it, so it's $20. She gives the driver a $5 tip, so it's $25. And he curses at her and says, "Well, it's a pretty nice house for a $5 tip." And this has now gone viral. And the question is now that the driver's been fired and things like that because you don't curse at people. But the overriding question is, you know, that's 25%. You know, that's a 25% tip. Is that an unreasonable tip? 855-616-1620. Let's start with Kelly and Slinger. Kelly, you're first. Good afternoon.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
So I do a similar service. I work with Instacart, which is a grocery delivery service,
right,
and just do it part-time kind of for fun. But one thing I wonder is that I believe that, and it's similar with DoorDash, that you know the order that's coming up and you know approximately how much your tip is going to be.
Right.
So one of the things, the question is, did the driver know that what the tip was going to be? Why didn't he decline it?
Right.
The second thing is, on a smaller order, I never expect a big tip. You know, we know what our base rate is, and if it's a small order, why would somebody tip a whole bunch of money on a real small order? It just doesn't make any sense. So this driver was totally out of line and definitely deserved to get fired.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think what sort of tip he expected. And then the argument is, well, you live in a nice house. Why? I would think that it would be extremely unusual for someone to tip. I mean, typically tipping is based on a percentage of the order. And if you're tipping 25%, my guess is if you're tipping 25% at a restaurant where you're sitting down, you're giving that to the server, servers wouldn't be complaining about getting a 25% tip. So why would the guy that brings the pizza there, why would he think that he was going to get more than that?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. I would say on average, people tip between 15 and 20%.
Right.
And it sounds like she gave him 22%. Which is over. It was absolutely reasonable. And he was completely out of line with his expectations.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 855-616-1620. That's the old National Bank talk and text line. Now, again, I the reason I bring this up is because we are moving the bigger picture here is that we're, you know, moving into a society where there's more and more, quote unquote, tipping that is expected. And I understand we're going into more of a service industry. And look, and I appreciate that the pizza delivery drivers, the DoorDash drivers, you know, that they're paying for their own gas and things like that. I understand all that. But at the same time, I guess I look at this and say, okay, if you have unreasonable expectations, maybe you should be in a different line of work. Let's talk to Justin in Greenfield. Justin, you're on WTMJ. Good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going, Jeff?
Good. What do you think?
So I do food delivery on the side for all of those, you know, pretty much I multi-platform. I don't usually, I have a minimum that I take.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't take, like let's say delivery is like 10 miles. Mm-hmm. And I won't take anything under $10. So mm-hmm. I try to do myself like a dollar a mile because it's the wear and tear on your car and everything.
Sure.
Now, I don't know how long the delivery was for this guy, but if he was going, like, I've seen, like, deliveries that they send out for us for, like, I've gotten one, for instance, for today for 15 miles for $3
mm-hmm.
because the person decides not to tip.
Right.
You know, so our livelihood is sometimes dependent on those tips.
But you can always say no to that. I mean, right? I mean, there's nothing that says that you have to take that. So, I mean, if it's a small order or if it's an order more than 10 miles away, you can always decline that, right?
Yes, I can decline that. But here's the caveat to that. So, like, example, for DoorDash, if your acceptance level goes below a certain amount, because they keep on giving you these small orders, you could get kicked off of DoorDash.
Yeah, right, Justin. I mean, thanks for calling. And I understand, and that's maybe that's a reason why you don't want to be doing the deliveries for DoorDash. And I get all that, but I guess I'm seeing this from the consumer's perspective. If you know, all I know is I'm ordering the pizza from DoorDash. You know, and the arrangements on compensation between DoorDash and whoever it is that accepts the ticket, that's between DoorDash and whoever accepts the ticket. I mean, I don't see, as with all due respect, as a consumer, it's not my problem if you've got some guy who's said yes and he's got to drive 10 miles as opposed to drive 3 miles or whatever. That's a decision that he's made. To me, I don't think I base the tip on, hey, where are you coming from? I mean, I base the tip on what the cost of the service, what the cost of the product was. So, I mean, yeah, I can understand, but maybe if that's the deal, if he's not making money on a $5, you know, delivering $20 and he's not making money on a $5 tip, maybe that's an indicator that, well, you shouldn't be working for DoorDash, especially if you think that they're giving you too many of the small things. 855-616-1620. Let's talk to Eric in Racine. Eric, you're on WTMJ. Good afternoon.
Hey, Jeff. Always good to hear from you.
Thanks for calling.
I was a DoorDash driver for a while. And granted, yes, you don't make a lot of money really fast, but the tip that she gave is more than sufficient for the order. Granted, right. It costs her more to have DoorDash deliver it. So that's probably where she was going based on that tip as well, is not tip as much because DoorDash is already charging me a delivery fee and everything else like that fee.
I guess, but let's work with the basic concept. I mean, I guess I don't forget doing the math and trying to figure out, okay, what is DoorDash going to cost? If my bottom line, no matter how you calculate it, is $20, and somebody brings the pizza to my door, I guess I don't think a $5 tip on a $20 bill is being stingy or chintzy or anything. I mean, it's 25%. Yeah. No, thanks. I mean, I guess that's kind of my point. And look, maybe this is an argument why the gig economy isn't such a great deal and why, I mean, I appreciate people have the wear and tear on the car and the gasoline and things like that. But that's always been the case to an extent. I mean, while the gig economy has taken off with like the Uber Eats and all the different types of deliveries and all those sort of things, I mean, we've always had pizza delivery folks who have, you know, made the Jimmy John's folks who've made their money in large part based on the tips. I think we've got to figure out what these expectations are. And I was, again, struck by this because if you've got somebody out there that thinks that this lady is being stingy, I just don't buy it. I mean, I think that's a more than fair sort of tip. It wouldn't have occurred to me to leave more money. Back with more in just a minute. This is Jeff Wagner, WTMJ. by the way, that's the Eagles. I didn't recognize that right away, but Samantha's, because that's called those shoes. Didn't quite recognize that. Now, why am I playing an Eagles Get Back? Because welcome, my friends, to the show that never ends. The Eagles have been doing farewell tours, my gosh, it seems for like the last 30 years. And after after Glenn Frey, who's one of the founding members of the Eagles, you know, Smuggler's Blues and all that, you know, after he passed away a few years back, the word was, okay, we're done with touring, but now they decided, okay, in 2017, well, there's interest, so, and there's money to be made, so we will tour, but this is going to be the absolute final tour. Well, nothing is final, because the Eagles have just announced that they are now, they're back again for yet another goodbye tour. It's called the Long Goodbye. They say this time that they promise that this is going to be their last tour, but it's a tour that's going to never end, because they're starting in September 7th, Madison Square Garden in New York. They anticipate that the tour will continue until sometime in 2025, which is like a year and a half. And they're being very honest about this. They said, hey, we're going to play as many shows in each market as the audience demands, which means we will return to certain cities. So as long as we can sell the tickets, as long as there are people out there who are willing to pay $250 or $300 and $400 to see us, we are going to come back and we'll play until people stop wanting to see us. So again, it's the headline is, the Eagles say the time has come for us to close the circle. Well, all right, they're not closing the circle. It's, you know, kind of more like that U-turn sign where they're just going to continue keep playing and playing and playing as long as there are bucks to be made. But if you want one more chance to see the Eagles, Don Henley, Joe Walsh, Timothy B. Schmidt, in addition, you're going to have it. You might have more than one chance. They're also going to be accompanied by Steely Dan. Now, of course, one of the two members of Steely Dan passed away a couple years ago, but that's not stopping Steely Dan. They will be back out on tour as well. I am going to be down at Summerfest. This is the last weekend of Summerfest. No show from Summerfest today because we've got Brewers baseball coming up very, very shortly. But right tomorrow, we'll be back 12 to 3 from the final Friday of Summerfest. It looks like it's going to be great weather. Come on down if you get a chance. It'll be absolutely outstanding. My wife is coming down with me. She and a couple friends are going to wander around the grounds. Then we're going to hang out afterwards and enjoy everything that is Summerfest.